Heavenly Father, everyone's in today's word. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here, Lord, to hear the word. We pray that we're attacking and releasing the Lord, that we continue to learn and grow and serve our Lord, that we would help us in this and out, looking to the Lord, and it's just like that. And we come out with more knowledge. Lord, I do pray that you be with Brother Mike and Brother Sean, hopefully a few classes, Lord, that you be with them and their lessons, those things that you lay on their heart, Lord, they bring those things out, and those things they've studied, Lord. Bring that to these things in Jesus' name.
Man, so I'm going to give some verses out just so we can move a little quicker. And for the Reagan, I want you to get Jeremiah, I think that 49, yeah, 16. And so this is just, I guess, for your information. So we're transitioning. We're going to look at kind of attitude and coming to teacher. We've been speaking. One of the things you have to be able to do is be apt to teach. Having the title of teacher doesn't make you a teacher. And I have noticed now there could be a couple of reasons why this isn't going on or this is happening, but I'm bringing it to your attention, I guess. So obviously not everybody in this room is a young preacher, but this class and this school is focused on young preachers and helping them to make that transition to become a pastor. Now, I think everybody can get something out of it and learn to be a better teacher, church member, the whole nine yards. And but I have noticed, so I'm giving out some homework, going to give out some more. And notice there's only a couple of you that don't want to really participate and bring out how you're forming your thoughts. Some of you are just sitting on your hands. Now, there could be reasons. It could be we haven't had that many classes. Could be that you're shy. I don't really think that's it. I'm taking the assumption you can't teach. You can't communicate.
Sure.
That's my assumption because you're not trying. And now that could be a wrong assumption. I'd ask yourself, we're not going to look at this per se, but there in Corinthians 13 chapter verse 5 talks about examine, talking about and that's dealing with the word of God and when we stand for the Lord, but maybe you ought to do a little examining right now. Are you just sitting on a shelf? Are you not being used in this work? When a pastor is gone or is sick, does your phone ring? And if the answer is no, well, you better look in the mirror. Because, and I don't know if I said this here or said it in Albany a few weeks ago, but I don't know if maybe some of you are getting what, I guess maybe what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to see if you can communicate things that you're going to deal with in a manner that can take the gainslayer and bring them to the knowledge of the Word of God. And that is, you know, I'm not going to read your stuff. I want you to do it your own self. I'm hoping that you're filing it away and hanging on to it and working on it. So I like football. Did I tell, was that here as I said that? Or okay, so it must have been home a few weeks ago. So I like football. That was my favorite sport. And, you know, track became the sport because I realized, you know, 100 and maybe 40 pounds isn't going very far. But I really liked it. And I was, you know, I was probably going to be an okay high school player. I wasn't Brother Sean's level and all that. But one thing I could do, I could split the gap. And I could get in the backfield and disrupt things. And I was quick enough to do that. And so that's what I relied on. And then one day, we're in practice, and the coach is trying to teach you how to get off a block and all that. And I just keep doing what I'm doing. Well, I got kicked out of practice. And because not listening. And I knew the coach really liked me. Okay, so, but I got kicked out, and he yelled, and some of you But then in that type of football environment, you got yelled at. And that was in the day where they would grab your face mask and make sure that they could see your eyes and all that stuff. So I got kicked out and told to go to the locker room. So I go do that. Man, I was just devastated, take my uniform off, all that good stuff. And I'm in that locker room for a few minutes, and I'm like, I am going back out there. And so I go back out, and I'm standing there, and they're still running the drill and everything. And he saw me, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, and I want to come back." And the thing I didn't get, he knew I wasn't always going to be quick enough to get through the gap. And he was trying to teach me, and everybody else, it was just, I'm the one that got singled out because not listening, said, there's going to come a day when I have to learn how to get off the block because I'm not going to be quick enough to always get through. Now, track came along and I ended up playing football anyway, but it was my favorite sport. And that coach really liked me. And he was a teacher I had to middle school, all the way to high school. And, I just knew he liked me, and I knew, he wanted the best for me. He let me come back, and I got to practice, and I learned a lesson. Whatever the practice was that day that we were going to work on, that's what I'm doing. You have to learn how to work with people. You have to learn how to teach. One of the things that Brother Crafty wants us to do, and we're going to start, I guess he's giving you guys all a book on method of sermonizing, and that's how you form your thoughts, granted on a piece of paper, but we're going to start, so if you've got that book, which you're all supposed to have, I understand, you need to look at that, because we're going to start implementing that to some degree next class time. But maybe you know it all. Maybe you don't need any help. Maybe you're beyond that. And I get, because I could split the gap. So maybe that's where you are. And I personally think some of you act like you never got kicked out of practice before. You probably never did. It's not fun. It's not fun, but you can learn a lot from getting kicked out of practice. Do you ever get kicked out of practice? Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. So Sister Julianne, she said something. I want you to read Ephesians 4, and I want you to, I think it's verse 18. Now, before you start, so she said something a couple minutes ago in the other class, and it kind of was leading to what I was thinking about that I'm trying to bring out. So how many years ago was that? So when you first came the first time?
16 years ago.
16 years ago?
2010.
And so, and you can fill in whatever blank you want on this. So you were just a girl from Medford that came up here to go to school. And your plan was to become a teacher. Now you're still kind of doing that, but that was your plan, right? And then you met a guy and he talked to you, invited you to church, and here you are 16 years later. Is that somewhat accurate? And the first time you came, you said there was an apology. The second time you came, there was an apology. And I don't know if you comprehend, I'm not talking to her, to all of us. You are going to spend most of your quote ministry dealing with people that don't get it because it's all new. You came from a different life. You came from a different place. You came from different people and friends and everything else. Now, over these years, most of your, I'm assuming 99.999% of your friends are in this room or in this work. The people you text, call, whatever. Is that somewhat accurate? I don't think you had comprehend when you moved up here from Medford, hey, I'm going to find a guy and marry him.
No.
And then he's going to become a pastor. I don't even know what that means. And I'm going to become a pastor's wife, and I'm going to have a couple kids, and I'm going to homeschool. I don't think you probably had any mindset that was going to be your life.
I used to make fun of people like that.
Yeah, well, I still do, so it's okay.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right, because it's just different, right? But she didn't know anything. And in that process, you came to the Lord your Savior. And in that process, the Lord convicted you about getting baptized and joining a New Testament church. And then this guy becoming his wife and learning this next phase of life that you're in right now. And you didn't know any of that 16 years ago. Read verse 18 for us, please.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
So that blindness is something, you know, I'm not saying that she was blind or whatever. That blindness, she just didn't know. I'm going to assume that in your mindset today, your life is pretty good. I'm going to assume that this verse here in verse 18, that you kind of have an understanding now. You're not blind anymore. And you realize the things that can make your life better are in the Lord, in His New Testament church, and growing with Him. I'm assuming that. Is that that's accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you got an awesome father-in-law.
Yes.
Right. He was just walking through. So, you know, I mentioned last night, you know, using your family as a training board, and because the Bible tells us to do that, you know, how you can't take care of your family, you can't take care of the Church of God. But we have extended friends and family and, you know, in-laws and all that. And I, you know, I look back and I probably could have been better with my in-laws because they just didn't know. They just didn't get it. And maybe I didn't work hard enough at helping them to get it. You're going to spend your majority of your ministry in one form or another trying to teach somebody the Gainslayer about the life that they can have. And if you don't learn how to do that, to communicate that, to be able to take somebody, make a little outline in your head. I kind of appreciate Brother Reagan saying that work backward. I do a lot too, and it answers. And I don't really care how you put things together. That's why I'm letting you do it on your own. I'm just listening that you have, and you know, I'm counting on others. I'm just listening that you have a process that can get from point A to point B that somebody can comprehend it. And some of you aren't trying. Now, I don't know why. You just don't want to try. Jeremiah 49.
Yeah. 49:16.
Yeah, then I'll get Brother Jacob.
49:16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from then, saith the Lord.
So that terribleness is your pride. And if pride doesn't make you look in the mirror and figure some stuff out, or why is things this way? What can I do? What can I be better at? If pride is in that way, you're not getting anywhere. Brother Jacob.
Well, to that point, some of the questions, especially the last couple of classes, have been wording maybe a little bit differently than maybe we're used to. I think Brother Sean last night worded some of those questions purposely that way to make sure you have an understanding of the subject, not just regurgitating information.
Yeah,
and approach it, well, I already know, so I don't need to do this. Then you don't know, and you're going to end up failing with the Lord's church.
Well, and you're going to deal with people that don't know. You know, Sister Julianne, I'm assuming when you met Brother Crafter, you thought he was scary.
Yes.
You still may at times, but you realize there's a lot of growl. There's not a lot of bite.
Yeah.
And so that's where you are today. But 16 years ago, as a young college kid coming to this weird people, all these weird people, and you know, you're meeting them and you're like, well, this isn't for me.
Also, though, I will say in that, which I think is a Brother Roger, super snuggly wuggly. I know, shocking, but the longer I was around, I learned he was protective of his older brother about the ministry. He didn't know me quite as and was nervous about what I was going to do or the potential I had to screw that up. And so I've learned now that that was truly love, the way he treated me, his love for the ministry.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all good. But the thing is, your understanding of the ways of the Lord are not darkened. He's opened a life to you and you're reaping it. You have great kids, you know, your husband anyway, but you're married, I'm assuming happily. And you kind of enjoy your life. I'm assuming that, except in the wintertime when your yard floods. So let's go to Romans 14, and then I'm going to let Brother Sean. So I told him the other day he's probably going to get a little more time this weekend. What's a stumbling block?
Something gets in the way.
Yeah, and what's it get in the way of?
Moving forward.
Okay, and what would that be? What would be in my way of moving forward? Anybody? What's that? And that's exactly my thinking, ourselves. It's ourselves. And for whatever the reason, lack of better things, but it's generally ourselves. And we get in the way of moving forward. Whether I don't think I need this, I think I'm beyond this. I think this is beneath me. I think I've surpassed that. And that's not really reality. And sometimes you got to get kicked out of practice. And that could be a lot of different things. It could be, you know, it could just literally be somebody just walking away that you've invested, you think, time in, and you weren't able to reach them. And that's happened to me. And, you know, it's frustrating, it's sad, and you try to figure out what you could have done. You know, it could have been, it could be somebody dealing with, you know, we started this session of classes dealing with some depression and suicide. And it could literally be that somebody does that and you are racking your brain. What did you miss that you weren't able to get them? Because you thought you were. You thought you were getting through. And that, again, you know, something I had to deal with. That, in essence, is getting kicked out of practice. Now you got to decide what you're going to do next. So in Romans, the 14th chapter, we're going to pick up here, verse 11. I think it's verse 11. Somebody got that for me?
For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God.
Okay, go down to 12.
So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Yeah, 13, thank you.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rightly, that no man some stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
If the congregation, I'll use that term, or the people, don't feel they could talk to you, they're not going to bring anything to you. If everybody's stupid and idiot, doesn't get it, nobody's going to talk to you. If nobody's talking to you, we can't help anybody. If you can't work at communicating a lesson, whether it's standing at the back door, at their couch, or in the pulpit, and you're not able to communicate that, and that you're not going to reach them. And it's pretty scary when you think about it. Okay.
Let's go to Cooper. Many years ago, we had a young pastor publicly proclaimed to his congregation and made known the word to us. He did not want his congregation coming to him with problems. He bring me solutions. And he was tickled because he wasn't counseling hardly anybody.
Yeah.
Your people are needing help, but they knew they wasn't going to get it from him.
Well, we're blinded. There's not a person in this room that has not been blinded to the light that God can give you. And that can be being new, could be being backslid, can be being unlearned, but we've all been there. I mean, I've been there, and I look at the life I have, you know, I can look at, you know, it's the same thing I just brought up to Sister Julianne, things that you weren't thinking about. Now you've got this life, and it's good. And, you know, I'm the same way. And there's several of you that are literally in the same situation, that there was a time in your life you were blinded because of your ignorance. And that is not bad. It's just, you didn't know any better. And I'll get you set, Brother Daniel. And I'm thinking about kids, and the, you know, the Bible calls us, you know, the Lord calls us children. We generally are pretty patient with kids, especially if they're doing something for the first time. And we give them patience. We work with them. We teach them. We're generally pretty patient. And the Lord's pretty patient with us. But eventually, we expect them to, you know, get whatever you're trying to teach them, whatever that could be, whether it's taking the garbage out or whatever, for the damage.
Yeah, you don't know that. We really have an answer for this, but maybe we can talk about it a little bit. You got 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about those that went out from us because they were not of us. Come across some people that maybe you just can't reach.
Yeah.
So it's really true about it. And obviously, try to get a fan, but how do you handle it?
Well, I just keep trying. As long as they're there, as long as they'll let me in their life, I just keep trying. But literally, this last year, or the last, not, well, 7 months, 6 months, I've ran into just what you're talking about. And I really cared for this family. I think they're a fantastic family. And, but I knew probably 3-4 years ago, that they weren't putting roots down, and they were looking for a way out, and they wanted to move, and they wanted to move closer to family, and, you know, the Lord's leading, all that good stuff, and, you know, which, again, blinded. And I spent a bunch of time, and they were going, or one of them was going back to kind of closer to home for work. And I found them by 8 or 9 churches to investigate for this move. They didn't go to one. And so that told me right there, you know, they're probably not. And but I just kept trying. You know, I like kids, I like sports, all that stuff. And so their kids were involved in sports, and so I tried to go, you know, have these conversations in a relaxed atmosphere and go watch their kids. And that didn't open the door either. And they come to the house and been to their house and just trying to break that barrier and just keep preaching and thinking that I believe God can fix it, anything. Okay, but you have to want God to fix it, and some people don't. And that come to that conclusion, and I think I mentioned this earlier, this class session, my job is not to fix you. My job is to teach and preach and let the Holy Spirit do it. And I believe the philosophy that Brother Crabtree, you know, states all the time, you preach them in, you preach them out. And that's what happened. They got preached out. And you know, they start missing and all these things. And now as a few months have gone by, all their reasoning and excuses, you know, they're coming to the surface. And, you know, they didn't want to serve the Lord in a scriptural New Testament church for whatever the reason, blinded to what God could give them. Now, why they stayed blinded, I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, God gives us pretty good glasses. And gives us that Holy Spirit and that comforter to guide and direct us. And, you know, I do think sometimes we as preachers and teachers, we could probably be better. And that's something that the Bible, and we're going to get into this next time, that the Bible tells us, the scriptures teach us, that we are to work on these things. And so I just, you know, I just kept trying to work, and then it becomes apparent, like you just said, and then you let the Lord deal with the rest. And my last conversation with them, because I do believe they're saved, I told them, this is going to result in chastisement. And when it happens, you need to know why it's happening. And I left them with that. And now, you know, going back, if they need a kidney, I'm getting my blood tested. They're good people, but they're blinded to what the life God can offer them.
Can I, along with that, I think the elders need to understand, as a pastor, you're dealing with individuals, if you're going to scripture, you realize very quickly that reality is not many people serve the Lord.
Yeah.
When you look at Israel and those that were surrendered to him, it was a small number. When you look at churches and you consider, right, there are a few names of Sardis. So, and it's not that they don't get it. They may not have God at one, but every church member is faced while they get it. Yeah. But they're making a choice that I don't want that life. Yeah. Rather be in church and live this life, but I can't surrender the Lord. You're going to have a lot of church members that fall right into that category. They're going to be here. They're just not going to do much.
Yeah.
And they're not going to surrender. And then you're going to have those, right, that are all in. They're
going to do everything. Yeah.
And then you have some that just teeter back, teeter back, foot over, and they're gone. That's reality. You have to know how to work with every group, all those individuals in those cases, to try to get them to step forward.
At least to be,
you don't know where.
At least so they can get a little better glasses. Yep. And sometimes it takes time.
And it gets frustrating.
Yeah. But, and then you come up, I'm done. But I literally said this, you know, when we started, and I believe this, and, you know, pastored angry for the beginning until it dawned on me, I can't fix people. When I've come to that conclusion, I'm not stressed out about pastoring. And I get frustrated when I hear folk pastors blame the ministry for their stress. And it really irritates me. And because that is not, I don't believe that's real. And, you know, I got a lot of people I care about and it keeps me awake at night and at times and, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Just give it to God and you don't have to carry it and he'll help you. But don't blame what God has asked you to do for the stress of your life. That's not real. That's a cop out. And it'll make you not do it. And so just keep trying. And that's awful advice.
No,
I don't know what to do.
Like you said,
you just got to keep trying.
On the same page you do, but you don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's going to help them? It's only the word of God. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this word? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and the Greeks foolishness. That's the only thing that's going to help anybody.
Well, and I do think you have to look in the mirror. Like, am I doing a good job? You know, and that's what Jeremiah, that's why I had this look. Am I doing a good job? Can I be better? Can I work on my, you know, teaching? I mentioned, you know, and I had a talk given to me year two in the teaching here in this school. I think you can do better. Now, there was no, this is what you need to do. You know, I didn't have YouTube to go back and watch. Says, I think you can do better. I don't think you're doing your best. So that was fun. That's getting kicked out of practice. And I went home and I prayed about it and I looked at it and I thought about it. And, you know, it's been a lot of years since. I haven't had that talk again. So I don't know if that means they've given up on me or maybe that part that they felt I wasn't doing my best at, either they're accepting a lower standard or Maybe now I'm doing a little better. But you have to look in the mirror, Roshan. And
we don't have to improve on our swelling words or our reasoning or our verbiage. What we need to improve on is how we are using the word
God. Yeah. And I'm communicating it.
Yeah.
Reagan.
Well,
I know, Sean, I know.
All the other young preachers are going to hate me, but you said you had homework to give out.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now, some of it is kind of, some of it you already did, or it's kind of together. So, and I may have given this one last week and just didn't get it last night. Saints. I want you to answer who the saints are. And then also want you to answer, and I know we talked about this last night, and for the most part, I think did fairly decent. But I want you to define giving God glory, and for those in all days, it's going to be a little easier for you. The day of Pentecost and what happened. Now, I know we just did that as a church, but I think it's important that you, and I get asked that a lot, I think it's important for you to be able to answer the day of Pentecost, what happened, and in particular, who that they are there in chapter one. And so I know we spent some time doing that. So if you're from Albany, that I did all your work for you the last couple of weeks. So who that they are and on that day of Pentecost and for the show. Sorry.
All right.